All right. We're staying with decrees. See, decrees are powered by the Holy Spirit. The line's right up, Shirley. Words cause action. The careful selection of our words when making a decree, declaration, or proclamation are important. As we word up, Holy Spirit will enlighten us to the right words to be selected for what God would have us to decree. So we need to be listening for and attentive to the small, still, quiet voice of Holy Spirit. Because that Spirit is called Spirit power. And that means that's the power that's within us. It's called Spirit power. In John chapter 16, verse 7, in the Amplified, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, the Comforter, Advocate, Intercessor, Counselor, Strengthener, Standby, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him, Holy Spirit, to you. He will remain with you forever to be in close fellowship with you. For He is in you." We have all the creative force of heaven and earth available to us. It's simply a matter of learning how to activate and effectively use all of the power. Words cause actions by Holy Spirit. In Genesis chapter 1, because we're going to go back to the very beginning. Genesis chapter 1, we're going to read verses 1 and 3. Amplified Classic Edition. In the beginning, God prepared, formed, fashioned, and created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and an empty waste, and darkness was upon the face of the very great deep. The Spirit of God was moving, hovering, brooding over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. The very moment God spoke those words, "Let there be light," Holy Spirit made it happen. He was hovering. He was waiting to go. The Holy Spirit is always watching, always listening, and He always is ready to move into action. Now, in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9, the eyes of the Lord go around looking in all the earth. God's eyes are always going around. God's Spirit never does anything except but what He hears. At creation, Holy Spirit was busy, moving, hovering, brooding. Yet nothing happened until God spoke. But the moment He did, Holy Spirit cut loose. And the universe started expanding at a rate of 186,000 miles per second, the speed of light. Now here's one. If you do the math, because you just heard what I said, right? Within the first 24 hours, the creative force of God's word traveled nearly 17 billion miles. Now, I said, if you do the math, right, 60 seconds, 60 minutes, 24 hours a day, multiply that times 186,000 miles per second, Well, I'll tell you what, it actually comes out to 16,700,400,000, to be exact. But I was giving you a roughly estimate. But if you do the math, and science tells us that it hasn't stopped expanding. Yeah, science has to back up. They don't have to back up what God does. That's for the inquisitive mind. If we learn to really just trust God in every situation, every circumstance, we won't have to try to figure it out. Because every need that you have will be supplied. Every health issue you're dealing with will be taken care of. There will be no lack in your home. He will give you the right job. He will set you up. He will not let other people take advantage of you either. He will give you insight to know what they're doing and how and who is your boss and what they're doing. Because you'll have the favor of God. But see, that's the power. That's God's spirit power. And that's the power of words. What's Job 6:25 tell us? How forceful are right words? They are forceful. Because we know what it says in Proverbs. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Words are powerful. They kill and they give life. As our sister said, be careful what comes out. Sometimes you might have to go and go, zip. Isaiah 55:11. Here you go, Tim. I got this one for you. Voice. Tim likes the voice. So it is when I declare something. God declares things. He's setting an example for us. So it is when I declare something, my word will go out and not return to me empty, but it will do what I wanted it, and it will accomplish what I determined. God's words do everything He wanted them to. Because in Romans 4:17, what did it tell us? God calls those things that do not exist as though they did. God's word bring into being things that did not exist. And so can you. Line it up with the word. You can look at Abraham and Sarah. That's where that came from. What was impossible to man was possible with God. Called the miracle of life. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, Amplified Classic, God is upholding and maintaining and guiding and propelling the universe by His mighty word of power. God sustains and expands the universe by the power of His words. All power is delegated by God. And all power comes in the form of a container called words. All power is delegated by God. And even Jesus admitted it. In John chapter 12, verses 49 and 50. I don't speak on my own authority. The Father who sent me has commanded me what to say and how to say it. And I know His commands lead to eternal life. So I say whatever the Father tells me to say. And then if you go to John 16, verses 13 through 15, Jesus goes on to say, when the Spirit of truth comes, we're talking Holy Spirit, He will guide you into all the truth, for He will not speak on His own, but He will speak whatever He hears. He will also declare to you what is to come. He will glorify me because He will take from what is mine and declare it to you. Everything the Father has is mine. This is why I told you that He takes from what is mine and will declare it to you. Holy Spirit and Jesus, they are bound by God's words. So it makes sense that we are too. Whoever says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt at all, but believes that what he says will take place, it will be done for him. Well, what happens next for us? We are the ones who must pick our words wisely. When we choose to speak God's word in faith, we will activate the spirit power we need to produce the abundance of life we want. Now, I'm going to repeat that because I thought I'd got at least something out of it. When we choose to speak God's word in faith, we will activate the spirit of power we need to produce the abundance of life we want. Saying is believing. And when we are worded up, we will speak God's word because it will have been planted deep into our hearts. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7, these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. Parents, we have the responsibility to teach our children God's word. But it goes on to say, we shall talk of them when we sit in our houses. You know, if you're talking the word in your house, there's going to be no gossip going on. No. Or when we walk by the way. When you lie down and when you rise up. That'll keep you out of a lot of trouble. It'll help control the thought life. It will. Because once it gets into the thought life and it starts working, you know what happens? The zipper comes off and we start speaking those words. Don't speak them. The devil wants to hear those kind of words. He wants to hear that. He don't want to hear you talking about the word. Because it's the word that's going to get us through. It's the word that works. And if you work the word, you'll be amazed at what it'll do for you in your life. So seeing is not believing, is it? I guess not clear there. See, Jesus made it clear, though, to us, did he not? He did it in John chapter 20, verses 24 through 29. Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came after he rose from the grave. The other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. So he said to them, unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. I don't know if that was doubt or unbelief or just jealousy because he wasn't there. Why he wasn't there, I have no idea. But Jesus capitalizes for our advantage by this story. And 8 days after this, His disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came to the doors being shut, and he stood in the midst of them. I like that. He doesn't have to have a key to get in. You know, the only door he can't go through is a door to your heart, as you got to open up the door to let him come into you. Well, what did he say? He said, "Peace to you." But then he turned and he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord, my God, it is you." Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." The words we continually speak prove what we really believe. Stop and think about that for a minute. Because as I've said before, if you ever recorded everything you said all day long and then played it at home and sitting there and listened to it, you would probably wish you could have had a stapler and could have stapled it completely shut so it didn't open up. Mark 11:23 says, "For assuredly," this is Jesus speaking, "I say to you, whoever says to this mountain," did you pick up on that part there? "Whoever says to this mountain." You got to speak to the mountain. "Be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." Again, he will have whatever he says. What are you saying? Again, what are you saying? Since what we believe is what we say, it's vitally important we program our hearts and minds with the right words, with life-producing words, with God's word. I got two words for you. Word up. Word up. God's words on our lips and in our hearts produce life and prosperity. Check me out. Deuteronomy 30:14-15. How about God's word in our hearts produces a long and prosperous and peaceful life? God's word in our hearts produces life, healing, and health. Those are found in Proverbs 3:1-2. Confessing with your mouths and believing in our hearts produces salvation. Right? Believe in our heart, confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. Thou will be saved. The purposes God taught his people thousands of years ago how to develop. This is a process that he taught a long time ago. How to develop faith by using words to program our minds and our hearts. It still works today. Still works today for us. It's a process called becoming God inside minded. It's when we read, meditate, and speak God's word until it becomes the final authority in our lives. The final word, or final words we say about any situation we face. What will your next words be out of your mouth? What will you say that in the end, proves what you believe. John chapter 4, verses 13 and 16. By this we know that we abide in Him, and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God. What's love got to do with it?
Everything.
Everything. It's right there. Activation of the Spirit of power comes by believing the love. As promised, once Jesus returned to heaven, God sent His Spirit to be our standby. In Acts chapter 1, verses 4 to 5, says, "And being assembled together with them, He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem." And there's something I should have did is every time I read that and I get right to there, and Ashley's not up there. Oh, she is. I want you to do something for me. I want you to make me a quick overhead that says J-E-S, okay, or J-E-R, J-E-R, then a dash, U-S-A dash L-E-M. And when you get that done, you just put it up, and I'll hopefully pick up on it. Okay, he said he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Then verse 8 says, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." And then you go to Acts 2, verse 4. "And they were all filled with Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." He sent us Holy Spirit, who gives us mighty power, love, and self-control. It's not a spirit of fear, is it? No. No. Mighty power, love, and self-control. God loves us. And He sent His Holy Spirit to empower us. And He offers us 24/7 access to His Spirit of power and His Spirit of love. Our response and responsibility is, Roger, you ready for this? Simply to believe. Simply to believe the love God has for us and receive His power. Sounds easy, though. But for many believers, it's not. That's right. The day Jesus miraculously fed about 20,000. Yeah, that's what the number comes out, Rhoda. You tried to figure it out. Around 20,000 hungry people. He had crossed to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And there was a large crowd that had tracked him down. They had experienced firsthand this spirit of power in action through what Jesus had done the night before. So they asked him this question. And it's in John 6, verse 28. "We want to perform God's works too. What shall we do?" And then Jesus told them, "This is the only work God wants from you. Believe. Believe in Him whom He sent." Talking about Jesus. Activating the power of God always comes down to faith. And sadly, Jesus had to call those people out that day because they really didn't believe. Because then we find in verse 36, Jesus replied, "But you haven't believed in me, even though you have seen me." After they got free food, they got everything else, and he's telling them who he is, and they still didn't believe who he was. So when it comes to believing the love of God, know that the faithful love of the Lord never ends. Lamentations 3:22. Okay, let's see, you keep a note. Just so you know, this is not me. I'm giving you the word. God loves us with an everlasting love. Jeremiah 31, verse 3. God loved us even while we were sinners. Romans 5:8. God lavishes great love on us. 1 John 3:1. And you know how we know this? Because he calls us his children. When it comes to receiving the power of God, know that the same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. Romans 8:11. There is unlimited greatness of God's power to us who believe. That's Ephesians 1:19. And we are to be filled constantly with Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18. Believe in Jesus and we will do greater works. John 14:12. See, when we're convinced of God's love and filled with his Spirit, there's nothing we can't do. I'm sorry, nothing he can't do. But there's nothing we can't do either, because he'll be able to work through us. Now, that wasn't a mess up on my part. That was exact. It was supposed to come out. If we'll just focus on the believing, speaking, and receiving part, God's Spirit of power will handle the rest. Whatever things you ask for, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. The season we are in is demonstrating God's awesomeness. And we're part of it. This is exciting. We're part of what's going on. We're watching God's awesomeness work right now. And he is working. And he's shaking it to the very cores. See, the battle is on. And in Isaiah 59, verses 15 through 17, we can see God dressing for battle here. The Lord looked and was displeased to find there was no justice. He was amazed to see that no one intervened to help the oppressed. So he himself stepped in to save them with his strong arm. He put on righteousness as his body armor, and he placed the helmet of salvation on his head. He clothed himself with a robe of vengeance and wrapped himself in a cloak of divine passion. Jesus secured the final victory, you see, over our enemies, the demons of hell, hell itself, and death. Because we read in Revelation chapter 1, verses 18, "I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore." Oh, he says amen in the scripture. "And I have the keys of Hades and of death." But the battle isn't over. We as believers have the responsibility of maintaining that victory while we're in this world. Romans 8:37 says, "We are more than conquerors through him who loved us." I'm at a pause right there. Do you see that? Floriana was so excited when she got that, and she wanted to share that to you. Do you see Jerusalem? What's in the middle of Jerusalem? America will be saved. That's why we got to pray that our government makes sure they stay in alignment with Israel. There's a divine, there's a reason for everything that God does. There's a purpose and a plan in everything He has. And she wanted to share that. So I figured I'm going to put it on a big train. Like, if that, I'm going to do it. And I did not do it. And then when it clicked in my spirit right then, it said, you forgot something. But thanks, Ashley. But that's neat. So just leave that up there for now. Just so they can sink in. Let's see, we're not a nation that's going under. No, we're coming out on top. And the world's going to take notice. And these other nations who have been oppressing us, we'll see God's awesome power. So we are more than conquerors. And certainly we can be confident that God still has our backs. Because it says in Exodus 14:14, the Lord Himself fights for us. How about Psalm 77:14-15? God redeems His people with His mighty arm. Isaiah 55:4, God uses His people to display His power on earth. Who's He use? His people. Are we His people?
Yes.
That's right. The glory of the Lord is our rear guard. Isaiah 58:8. At the same time, however, Almighty God, He has full confidence that we've got this. He's got confidence in you. Probably more than you got in yourself. That's why we got to make sure we stay worded up so we know who we are in Christ.
Amen.
Really grab a hold of that, who you are in Christ. You are an overcomer.
Yes, sir.
How do we overcome? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Amen. You see, as beloved children, we get the final word, the final say in the battle against our enemy. And here's what the Apostle Paul said, and we should say the same thing. Okay? He said this. He says, to say this. And you can say this with me.
We are strong in the Lord.
And His mighty power. And to do that, though, we have to dress for battle, the same as the Lord did in Isaiah 59. And we are to put on God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so we will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. And you want to look all those up? They're in Ephesians 6. Okay, 11 through 13. Okay, so we have the awesome personal access to the ultimate weapon of choice, Holy Spirit, the Spirit power Himself. That's awesome. That is awesome. You know, even though the people of Israel, they did not have God's Spirit inside them, they had the hope of having Him alongside. Because in Isaiah 59, verse 19, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Who will lift up? The Spirit of the Lord. We're talking Holy Spirit. See, this paints an awesome picture. Can you just imagine of God riding in to defend his people against overwhelming odds and unspeakable evil? Just like in the day we're in right now. Well, thank God for the blood of Jesus. Yes, his shed blood. Because it affords us what the Apostle Paul called the better covenant with better promises. And one of those better promises is the Spirit of power. The greater one in us, Holy Spirit, is ready to respond to us just as quickly, just as powerfully as he did to the Creator on the first day of the world. All we have to do to activate him, using our words, expressing our faith, believing his love, dressing for battle. He will help you to make a decree. Then, when we decree it, he will be the power behind it. You see the awesomeness of God telling us how important it is to make the decrees or make and declare something. He does it throughout. And Jesus did the same thing because he speaks only what the Father tells him to speak. And the Holy Spirit will guide you because he only does what he's told by those two to do. Praise God. Well, thank you for listening. And we're going to honor the Lord Jesus with communion right now.